Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, I don't know about you. How you doing? Everybody good? We're trying to be, huh? Man, we're making the effort. I'll tell you, I got some news tonight right before church that kind of was expected, yet disturbing. A friend of mine, and I thought, oh my gosh. And I'll tell you, what better way when you get disturbing news or news that you have to say, okay, I'm taking a stand. I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm going to throw my shoulders back and put my chin out and get ready to go. What better way when you get news like that than to get in the Word? Isn't that right? Man, there's people, it's funny because I'll talk to people. I'll say, well, where do you go to church? Well, I've been to church a while. I really need to go to church, but I need to get my life right, or I need to get my life together first. And, you know, that's a bad plan. Just a simple question. Is there a heaven? Yeah, I mean, we're banking everything on that there's a heaven, that God is who he says he is, and his word is true and it's real. And I believe that. And I'll tell you why I believe it. It's not just blind faith, okay? And you can write that down. This is not blind faith. The world may look at us and think, well, we're following after men, or after these guys just wrote it, you know, a couple thousand years ago. But we know that the Holy Spirit inspired it. The reason it's not blind faith, and I absolutely know it's not, is because God's proven it. Over and over and over and over again. And he's not just making himself real and showing himself real in cloud formations or in beautiful mountains or valley streams. Man, he proves it in our lives day in and day out. And that's what God wants to do. So if we emphatically, I don't think anybody in here said no if there's a heaven. We know there's a heaven, okay? But then my question is, what sends people to hell? Tonight, it's going to be very foundational. And I'll tell you this, just how I look at things, and it's hard because these are ethereal questions that I have to ask myself to examine how we're doing as a church and how you're doing and how I'm doing and how this is working. But this is one of those foundational messages, okay? Just a foundational message. And don't think, oh my gosh, it's going to be boring. No, that we have to have a strong foundation. Don't you agree with that? So we believe there's a heaven, and then there's a hell if there's a heaven. And what sends people to hell? And I know if I'd say, hey, everybody answer me, what sends it? There are people in here that would say sin. Okay, that sin sends people to hell. And that's how it, I'll be real honest with you, that's how it feels in my day-to-day life. That it's like, okay, if I do the right things, then I'm righteous. And if I do the wrong things, then I'm in sin. And if I do the right things and I'm righteous, I go to heaven. If I do the wrong things and it's sin, and I'm sent to hell. And you know, that's not what sends men and women to hell. It's rejecting Jesus is what sends men and women to hell. And see, we have to understand that. So then on the converse side of that, The idea now is what causes our lives to prevail to heaven. It's accepting Jesus. It's making Jesus the Lord of our life. The way God does anything is the way God does everything. And that's our entrance into this life, is that we make Jesus the Lord of our life. What the whole idea now is, every single day of our lives, we make that decision. We vote for Jesus as the Lord of our life. In how we think, how we speak, and how we act, how we interact, how we react, and how we respond. Man, there's reactions that I have that, oh my gosh, I wish they never would have happened. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not really what I meant. I didn't mean to come off that strongly, except for the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there's jacked up stuff in my heart, it's going to end up coming out of my mouth. And see, and we have to understand that. We have to, this isn't a behavior. Christianity is not a behavioral science. It's not behavior modification. That's not why God sent Jesus to the cross. Man, this is completely different. And we have to understand that. See, because God wants us, God wants Bill Scheer to know him, listen, as I am. See, it's so amazing. In the Old Testament, they'd say, "Who are you?" And he'd say, "I am." If Moses came and said, "Well, who do I say sent me?" And he said, "I am. Tell him I am sent me." And see, the whole idea of this, it's not I might be or I could be or I should be. It's I am. Everybody say, "I am." See, so what is the I am? Healing. I am prosperity. I am peace. I am joy. I am love. See, and when we look at this, it's like, wait a second. If we're not trying to break this down, is God the reward or is God the rewarder? The answer is yes. It's not a dichotomy. It's both and. See, we have to understand that. And we'll think, we'll say, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Except that's really what our lives are. Man, for so many people in this room, you have no idea the impact you have on my life. I mean, I'm looking at Junior. The impact Junior's had on my life has just been phenomenal. The impact Travis has had on my life is over the top. So he's the rewarder, but he's also the reward. See, I'm married to Pastor Sandy. She's the rewarder in my marriage, but she's also the reward. See, and that's what happens when we come to the kingdom. When we come to the this place of God's way of doing things. And I love God's word, and it's so profound. And I was in the word recently, and this just came out, and I thought, you know what? If I just preach this one verse for 20 or 25 minutes, this one verse, just pound it, maybe people will get it. See, this may or may not be entertaining to you. Hopefully it is, because my working definition of entertainment is catching and keeping someone's attention. So hopefully this will keep your attention. But you may not laugh and you may not cry, but that doesn't matter. Does this speak to your heart? Does this speak to your spirit, man? Does this build you up? Does this help you walk away in a place of faith where you're not battling if you're just a sinner or if you're just you're trying to do what's right, but so often you don't and you live with regret and I'm telling you, that's when the devil's just got you up against the ropes and just pounding the daylights out of you. See, he can't kill you, but he can beat you into submission. And see, that's the whole idea. What's interesting about it is that in MMA fights, there's submission holds. That's what the enemy wants to do in your life. He wants to get you in a submission hold so you tap out. And let me just tell you something. You'll think, man, I'll never do that. I'm telling you, man, incredible people. I've seen it throughout my life as a believer and my ministry life and as a pastor. I've seen a lot of people tap out in their life. Over insignificant things. You know, the Bible says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Sandy and I've got friends in ministry that are just, oh my gosh, they're so anointed and they're so powerful. And then something happens in their life and it wrecks them. And I think, and I'm telling you, there were two different occasions that I had to sit through meetings of people, and I'm just the people that took a wrong step or that something happened in their life, and it maybe should have winged them for a couple weeks, but it shouldn't have taken them out, yet it did. See, why does that happen? I'll tell you why that happens. It's because of our foundation. Let me tell you, because you've got a great foundation does not assure that you're going to take the right steps every time. But it does assure with the right foundation is you'll be able to withstand the assault of the storm that hits your life. And see, what this life is just a series of storms. See, whether we're running or not, no matter how hard you're running, that storm's still going to hit you. And see, we've got to look at this and we've got to understand it and realize that, man, this storm, what's the purpose of that storm? The purpose of the storm in your life, let me just tell you, is just an indicator of your foundation. And determining how deep and strong your foundation is, then that's going to determine what you can build upon it. And I'm telling you, what this life is about is what we build. The people we listen to are people that have built things. The people that we want their advice and we want to follow after they're doing, they've built things. The Bible says through faith and patience, that's building something. We have to trust God, and then you know what? We've got to be able to take that stand of trust and that stand of faith. That's all patience is. Patience is just me standing in faith. Man, I'm believing God for certain outcomes, and let me tell you, the Bible says this, I have what I say. Now, if my foundation is faulty, that's really not going to work out, because the enemy's going to what? He's going to get me in a submission hold. But let me just tell you, if you've got that track of faith in your life and that foundation of faith in your life, it doesn't matter what hold the enemy, it doesn't matter what, no weapon formed against you will prosper. I'm telling you, there's an anointing on this, what I'm saying here tonight. There's a reason you're here. Man, there's a purpose for God's word for you individually in your life tonight. And let's get in the word for a minute. Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2, and let's look at verse 12. Paul writes, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not just in my presence only. You know what that tells you is most people live two lives. Teenagers. How many of you guys are raising teenagers? Okay. I know what comes out of your mouth and what's in your heart is not my kid. If your kid gets in trouble, it's because it was those kids that he was with. Okay? But listen, I wasn't that kind of teenager. I was the kind of teenager, if something happened, the principal would come to the room and say, Shear, out in the hall. I'm like, I just got here. I don't know what happened, but I couldn't have done it. But see, we look at this, and the idea now is that regarding our foundation, that we obey whether people are looking or they don't. Man, I'm not, if I were different on Friday night than I am on Sunday morning, if I were different on Saturday night than I am on Wednesday night, I'm telling you, to see through in everything in my life. See, those kind of things, God reveals those kind of things. And I'll tell you why. God wants to take care of his sheep. Man, there's things that God covers. Love covers a multitude of sin. But those things that are going to cause people to stumble, those things that are going to cause people to take the wrong path, those people, apostasy things, things that are false doctrine, things that are doubt and unbelief, things that are going to keep people from having a strong foundation, God doesn't play that. See, we have to understand that. And see, what's interesting is, that's why the Bible says, you who desire to teach. And that's, let me tell you, that teaching is mentoring. It's the lowest level of ministry in the fivefold ministry giftings. It's an entry-level gifting, is that teacher gift. Man, I'm going to teach. I'm just going to break down the word. I'm telling you, any person in this room could do it in a matter of 9 months. I'm telling you, if you've been through, like Caitlin one time, Caitlin, how many times have you been through the second mile? 10 times. Caitlin is equipped to teach. Carrie can teach. Chris can teach. Why? Because the word's in us. So we could break it down now, okay? We have the Holy Spirit and we have the truth. Everything's about the Spirit and truth. But what Paul said, you desire to teach, man, you better tie your boots up tight. You better pull your hat on tight, because I'm telling you, you're going to be held to a stricter standard. See, what's interesting about this, I know, Pastor Sandy knows, Scott Houston knows, we know we're held to a different standard than you hold yourselves. I get it, and I'm good with it. You hold us to as high a standard as you can. And you know what? Because we're going to live our lives and endeavor to meet that standard, but you have to understand that there is a point where we get to. Why? Because we're building. You begin to build then. Paul called his ministry, he was a master builder. See, that's what apostles do. They build. Man, things are created in their wake that people can function in ministry with. See, so he said, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Get through your issues. How do we work out our salvation? We go to the Word. We go to the Savior. That's how we work out our salvation. How did you come to Jesus? You came to the Savior. How do you get to heaven? You accept the Savior. How do you get through things in life? How do you work out your salvation? You go to the Savior. See, that's how this works, with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Man, I'm telling you, as more important than anything else in your life. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I miss it so often because I don't discipline myself sometimes, so I think that I'm doing the work. Put verse 13 back up on the screen if it's not. Okay, you look at that. It doesn't read, it's what I do that works in me to do God's pleasure. See, somehow our natural mind is wired for us to think that we're doing the work and it's pleasing God, it's blessing God. But that's not what God's word says here. What God's word says here is it's God who works in us. God who works in us. And both to will and to do his good pleasure. See, what this is God, what God does in my life is he forces his will upon me. Why? Because I've submitted my life to him. Because I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. So now God's going to impose his will upon my life. What's his will? It's healing. It's prosperity. Let me just tell you something. When we submit ourselves to God, he will impose his will upon our lives, and it's his good pleasure. See, and we can't miss it. See, it's like this. I use this illustration of a square. Like if there were, in your whole vision, in your whole periphery, you've got all this. Well, that's the world. Well, inside this world that we have, this periphery, inside of it is a square. And if I told you that in that square right there, there's peace, there's health, there's joy, there's prosperity, there's satisfaction, there's fulfillment, inside that square, if inside that square is everything that you need to live a godly life and everything you need to just prosper in your life, that everything you put, when you live in that square, everything you put your hand to prospers. I'm telling you, there's something in us. We want to get outside that square. I don't want to live in the confines of this square. I want to get out of the square. I want to experience some of the world. I've never tried that. It's surely not going to kill me. I'm not going to surely die. Man, I could get through it. Other people have gotten through it. So we look at it but what God wants is God wants us to get into that square. And as soon as we're, would you guys pay attention? As soon as we get in that square, now we got it. But then what happens? We get in that square, man, we're fulfilled, we're satisfied. We got everything we need. Man, I'm just telling you, everything we need. But what's the enemy gonna do? He's gonna morning, noon, and night, he's gonna seek whom he may devour. Man, he's stalking your life. He's creeping upon your life. Man, he's trolling you. He's doing everything that he could do to find that opening, to find that in him. And I'm just telling you, I don't know that that opening is a door like we would use. I believe that opening is a door in our foundation. He's trying to find that crack in our foundation, that hole in our foundation. See, and what he wants to do is he wants to get us out of that square. He wants us living like the world lives. See, but because our flesh doesn't like the confines of Christianity. Our flesh doesn't like the confines of the kingdom. Why? Because we go back to the whole works-based mentality that we get in, that it really matters. I mean, what I do. See, I'm not saying we throw caution into the wind on how we live. But I'm telling you, we can't do enough to get to heaven. We can't earn our way in. See, the bottom line is this. Everything I've ever done in the kingdom does not qualify me to go to heaven. Doesn't. Only one thing does. Matter of fact, if I try to equate it into that, the Bible calls it filthy rags. And I'm not going to, I'll let the second mile teach you what filthy rags is. It's really gross. But see, the worst stench, but that's what my righteousness is. Like, I get up here, I deserve it. I get up here and what God's done in my life, let me just tell you something. I didn't choose God. He chose me and he appointed me. I don't know that I'd have picked me to do what I do. I'm not kidding you. I mean, there's so often it's like, well, Bill, are you really a pastor? It's like, today I'm not so sure. But you know what? I don't have to be sure because God picked me. See, you understand, everybody goes through this. Why? Because the enemy is trolling us. The enemy's creeping on us. The enemy's trying to either deceive us or seduce us into tapping out. But it's all about our foundation. Man, the foundational place of our life. See, that's why the Bible talks about the role of the church is to make disciples. God's will in our life is his good pleasure. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you'll have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We go to verse 14 in Philippians 2. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. See, you understand this. It's easy to complain about things. It's easy to murmur about things in the church. It's easy to complain about staff. It's easy to complain about the sound. It's easy to complain about music. It's easy to complain about preaching. But what does Paul say here? He says, do all things. What does he say to do? All things without murmuring, even if you've got a legitimate complaint. And I'm telling you, a lot of what we do in leadership in the church is dealing with people that have legitimate complaints. But let me just tell you, what Paul's saying is here is you don't have a legitimate complaint. He says, do all things without murmuring or complaining. But why? Did you find yourself what? Blameless. Man, blameless. You mean if I don't complain and I don't murmur, I can find myself blameless? That's what Paul writes right there. Why? Because what that's going to do, my attitude is going to take, you know, the world say, man, your attitude determines your altitude. And I'm just telling you, your attitude is going to determine your direction. And you're going to be in a good course. No matter what kind of storm that comes your way, I'm telling you, man, your trust in God determines that attitude. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now listen to verse 16. Underline this first phrase. Holding fast the word of life. Man, Paul even said, lay hold of that which is laid hold of, I lay hold of that which is laid hold of me. Hold fast to the word of life. Hold fast to it. Man, you grip it. I'll tell you what's funny about aging is you get weaker and your muscles, you can't do things. But let me tell you, your grip, you don't lose it. And I thank God for that. Young guys come, I just got to grab a hold of them a little bit. Got that old man strength. But what that is really just grip. And what the Bible says is, the Bible says to hold fast, put your grip on the word of life. So what does he say? Do all things without murmuring and complaining, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And so you'll find yourself, what, blameless? And then he says, hold fast on the word of life. Hold fast on it. Why? So you know what? When we're complaining and when we're murmuring, and we got things to complain about. When we do, let me tell you, we're letting go of the word of life and we're grabbing hold of something else. Do you see what I'm saying here? Does this make sense to you? See, this is one of those entry-level, general, foundational lessons. That's all this is. But let me just tell you, if you're a believer in here at all, you should be experiencing some conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because when we leave our lives unchecked at all, we will complain. Man, we could complain about whatever. Man, the temperature in the sanctuary, it's too hot, it's too cold. I prefer it to be cool. Why? Why do you think that is? Why do I prefer that you might have to wear a sweater in here when it's 98 degrees outside. Why do you think that is? You're going to be less likely to fall asleep. If it's warmer, you might get those seats are pretty comfy. Some of you guys are sitting next to good-looking women. Man, you could get all comfy in there, and next thing you know, you'll be snoring. That's bad for a message. It's hard on the anointing when you're snoring. How many of you guys, I want to know honestly, you snore. Can I see your hands? I'll just tell you this. If you've got more than a 16.5-inch neck, you're snoring like a freight train. So some of you guys are in denial. I'm just telling you right now. Did you raise your hand? No, you snore like a house of fire, don't you? You know what I'm saying? Like most of the windows in your bedroom are cracked, aren't they? Huh? Do you get elbowed a little bit so once in a while? Jamming socks down your throat, just trying to... See, because this foundation that we have, let me tell you, I'm going to rapid fire through some scriptures and then I'm going to throw you out of here, is that there's harmony in God's promises. And there's some foundational things just about the Father's good pleasure, about that we know that this is God, that it's God who works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. So listen about his good pleasure just for a minute. Four or five scriptures here. Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it's the Father's, listen, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now listen. Just an easy working definition of the kingdom is God's way of doing things. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you his way of doing things. Do you want to live your life your way or God's way? Do you want your way of doing things or his way of doing things? Your flesh wants to get out of that box. I'm telling you, what you want is you want to live in that box. Why? Man, there's peace. There's prosperity. Man, there's riches in that box. You know what? You live in that box, God eats your debt up. See, that's a, don't raise your hand, but how many of you guys are in debt? Man, you got to get into God's way of doing things, and it feels to your flesh like a box. Man, I remember when I became a Christian, and there were funny things that I used to love. Man, Richard Pryor was hilarious. I became a Christian, and I'm like, that's not that funny. Matter of fact, it kind of grieved me a little bit. I don't want to hear that stuff. No one had to tell me that was right or wrong. Man, I quit doing drugs. I quit partying. I quit drinking. Nobody said, hey, you should really quit drinking. See, I personally don't drink. If you got them, smoke them. I personally don't drink. And you'll say, well, why? It's because that's what God saved me from. And I'm telling you, it was a dramatic conversion in my life. God saved me from who I was and made me a new creation in Christ. And you know what? I'm gonna be so careful now to bring things into this new life that's all scriptural, that's all good, that's all life-giving. Man, I'm gonna cling to the word of life. Man, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. His way, it's his good pleasure. He's not gonna hold it back from you. Man, if any of you guys are in here and you still have that goofy, you believe in that goofy lie that you can't understand the word, stop thinking that. Man, begin to confess, I understand your word, God. God, I feast on your word. God, I deny my flesh that's trying to deceive me into thinking that I don't understand it. It doesn't matter to me if you've got a learning disability. It doesn't matter to me if you're dyslexic. It doesn't matter to me if you're a poor reader. It doesn't matter to me. Are you ready for this? If you're illiterate, you can understand the word. I'm just telling you how good God is, because it's his good pleasure. In Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us. See, some of you guys were raised in a church where they talked about predestination. Some people are predestined to get saved. Some people are predestined to go to hell. Man, a lot of the Calvinist doctrine, let me just tell you, it's wrong. God doesn't predestine people to go to hell. God, hell wasn't even designed for people. And there's nowhere in the word where God says, I'm sending my kids to damnation. See, but there is a predestination. Having predestined us to adoption. God's predestined us as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Listen, to the good pleasure of his will. Man, I've got three children. I've got three grandchildren and one on the way. Let me just tell you what my will is in their life. It's good pleasure. And that's what God is. Man, God's not saying, man, I'm going to put you through something to teach you a lesson. No, you know what God's saying? I'm going to give you my word to teach you a lesson. Doggone it, I wish you were listening to this tonight. This can help you. Man, God's good pleasure. Man, the next one, Ephesians 1:9, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Listen, his will's not a mystery to us anymore. He's made known to us the mystery of his will. Listen, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Philippians 2:13 again, for it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And finally, and this is the kicker, this is one of my favorite verses, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. And let me just tell you, that's the true, listen, a discipler is believing God for his disciples to walk in the anointing, in the call that's on their life, the gifting in their life. I'll tell you what, what's amazing is the men and women of this church, the discipling that happens in this church makes much better people than me. Much better. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Man, that one verse right there, man, if we just meditated, if we just settled on that verse just for 5 or 10 minutes, man, if you just read that verse and then meditate in the verse and God show me, let me tell you, words will pop off that page or off the screen on your phone that you're reading your Bible. Man, words will pop up and you know what? Make an impact in your life. Therefore, we also pray for you that God counts you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Oh my gosh. Man, that's what we pray for our children. That's what we pray for people we care about, people that are in our sphere. Man, it's the Father's good pleasure. And if we start thinking like that rather than, oh, you know, I just, that, because let me tell you something. Yeah, there are sufferings, and I believe there's sufferings of Christ. And let me tell you what those sufferings primarily are. You trying to get out of that box. You trying to live your life outside that box. Well, they could do it. It's not killing them. Man, look, there's people outside that box that are getting blessed. Man, why is this happening to me? I'm inside the box. No, you know what? The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And don't look at God told David, don't look at the heathen and the blessings of their life because they're going to miss out. See, so we look at this. Listen, what I've got to focus on when I read the word is I got to focus on me. And again, I got some difficult news right before the surface. Right before the service tonight, but guess what? Man, I get to get in the Word. Man, what did God lead me to speak about tonight? His good pleasure. Man, you think about it, it's like, wait a second. Now, guess what? That news that I got, that report I got, gets smaller and smaller, and it's dimmer. The vocal cords are severed on it. Well, now, what am I hearing? I'm hearing the voice of a loving Father who's created me in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared for you beforehand. All I'm doing is just playing out the script that God wrote in my life. That's why now Jesus, when I follow after Jesus, he's the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm playing out the script that God wrote in my life. The Bible talks about my days will be long on the earth. Even in old age, I'll be fresh and flourishing. Why? Because we're planted in the house of the Lord. So what? We flourish in everything we put our hand to. See, that's that life in that box. Why? Because it's God. See, God doesn't belong in that box. We do. Put me in that box. Man, I'm telling you, if that box has fulfillment and everything outside of that box robs and destroys my fulfillment, I don't want to get out of the box anymore. I'm not fighting to experience more of life. this life isn't a sightseeing tour for me. This life is purpose. There's a heaven. I get to go because Jesus died for my sin and I made him the Lord of my life. Not anything I did, not anything I've accomplished, not how long I prayed. None of that factors in. It's just he gave his life. He breathed his last breath, and that breath came into me when I made Jesus Lord of my life, and now I live. It's unbelievable, isn't it? God, we thank you tonight for your word. God, we thank you for the foundations of our lives. God, I pray right now that every person in this room watching or listening to this on the internet, God, every person, God, that we begin to examine our foundation. Are we in faith? God, I thank you we're strong in you and the power of your might. It's not who we are. It's not what we're about, but it's by your Spirit, God. God, thank you for giving us your Spirit tonight. God, when your word is preached, your Spirit goes forth with power. Your word produces signs and wonders, God. I'm telling you, you're in need of signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit tonight. It comes from the preaching of God's word. You're just receiving his word by faith. Just let God know right now that you receive his word, that you receive his life, that you want all of him that you can get. If you're here tonight and your life's not right with God for whatever reason, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. I want to do it quickly and I want to make it simple. But if you're here and need to make Jesus Lord of your life, or you're here and you just need to get your life right with God, just raise your hand right now wherever you are. Just raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Anybody else? Abbo, can you help me? The first row of the risers. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Need to get your life right with God. Mark, can you go pray for John Pence just because I care about him and I love him and I'm looking at him back there? He'll wave to you when you go by. It's good to see you, John. Is there anybody else? Just need to get your life right with God. Just raise your hand. Wave to me if I'm missing you. God, I thank you and I praise you for the work you're doing in every life in this room. God's doing the work. Remember that? Just under your breath right now, say, thank you, God, for doing this work in my life. To impose his will upon our lives. It's his good pleasure. Man, do you want the will of God? Let God impose that will on your life. Let God lead and guide you in all truth. Your comforter's here tonight. Your ever-present help in time of need. Your shelter, your high tower, your buckler, your shield, your rear guard, your healer, your provider. He's here right now. There's a tangible Spirit of God in here tonight. He wants to minister to you. He wants to help you. He wants to lead and guide you through all truth. Don't live outside of his will. Not for a minute.